Hello and welcome to the Zero to Finals podcast. My name is Tom, and in this episode I'm going to be talking to you about acute asthma. If you want to follow along with written notes on this topic, you can follow along at zerotofinals.com/medicine/acute asthma or in the respiratory section of the Zero to Finals medicine book. Let's get straight into it. An acute exacerbation of asthma is characterized by a rapid deterioration in the symptoms. And this could be triggered by any of the typical asthma triggers, things like infection, exercise, or cold weather. And the presentation is of progressively worsening shortness of breath. And you'll find that they use their accessory muscles because they're having to try very hard to get air in and out of their lungs. The respiratory rate might be raised, which we call tachypnea. There should be a symmetrical expiratory wheeze on auscultation. And the chest can sound tight when you listen, with reduced air entry throughout. There's some systems we can use to grade the severity of an acute asthma attack. One of the key measurements that we use in order to grade the severity of asthma is the peak expiratory flow rate, or peak flow. And if this is 50 to 75% of their predicted value, this is a moderate asthma attack, or moderate exacerbation of asthma. If the peak flow is 33 to 50% of predicted, or their respiratory rate's above 25, their heart rate's above 110, or they're unable to complete sentences with one breath, this indicates severe asthma. And then life-threatening asthma is when the peak flow is less than 33% of predicted, their oxygen saturations drop below 92%, the patient starts becoming tired because they're working so hard to breathe, and if you hear no wheeze on the chest, which occurs when the airways are so tight that there's no entry at all, and this is described as a silent chest, that's quite an ominous sign. And then if they have hemodynamic instability, so if their blood pressure drops or they become severely tachycardic, these are all signs of severe life-threatening asthma. So how do you manage an exacerbation of asthma? Well, as a junior doctor, you really should not underestimate the danger of acute asthma. And this is because patients can deteriorate quickly and it can become life-threatening. So don't hesitate to keep adding treatment and escalate early to seniors and to HDU and ICU if they're not improving or there's signs that the asthma is becoming more severe. If the asthma is severe, then decisions such as aminophylline, IV salbutamol and IV magnesium are normally done under the guidance of an experienced senior. So for moderate asthma, you can use nebulized beta-2 agonists like salbutamol, and you can do, for example, 5 milligrams of salbutamol nebulized and repeated as often as required, nebulized ipratropium bromide, steroids, which could be oral prednisolone or IV hydrocortisone, and these are usually continued for 5 days. And then if they have evidence of a bacterial infection, you can use antibiotics. In severe asthma, you might need to use oxygen to maintain their oxygen saturations and aim for a level of 94 to 98%. Aminophylline can be used as an infusion, and IV salbutamol is an option as well. And then when you start getting into life-threatening asthma, you can use IV magnesium sulfate. They might need admission to HDU or ICU for careful monitoring and titration of their infusions. And in the worst case scenario, they may need intubation and ventilation. However, this decision needs to be made early as it's very difficult to intubate somebody who's got severe bronchoconstriction. So get the ICU and the anaesthetist involved early with somebody who has potentially life-threatening asthma because they may need to make a decision about intubation. Let's talk about arterial blood gases in asthma. Initially, patients with an acute exacerbation of asthma will have a respiratory alkalosis because of their high respiratory rate causing them to blow off a lot of the CO2. So their CO2 drops, and as a result, their blood becomes alkalotic. A normal PCO2 or hypoxia is quite a concerning sign as it means that they're becoming tired and they're putting in less effort to their breathing, and this indicates life-threatening asthma. A respiratory acidosis due to a high CO2 is a very bad sign in asthma. So how do you monitor somebody's response to treatment? Well, to monitor their response, you can use their respiratory rate, their respiratory effort. So are they still having respiratory distress? Their peak flow measurements. So what is their percentage of predicted on their peak flow? Their blood oxygen saturations and listening to their chest to see how well their wheeze is responding to treatment. A few additional notes on the treatment. It's important to monitor the serum potassium because salbutamol will cause potassium to be absorbed into cells from the blood. Salbutamol also causes a high heart rate, which we call tachycardia, so it's worth being aware of this as well. And then after they've had the acute attack and they've made a good recovery, you need to optimize their asthma control. So patients should be discharged with an individualized asthma action plan that provides them with a clear plan for everything they need to know about their asthma in one place. It's worth also considering prescribing a rescue pack of steroids for the person to use in the future if they feel that another exacerbation is coming on. And NICE suggests referral to a respiratory specialist after two attacks within a 12-month period. Thanks for listening to this episode on acute asthma. If you found this podcast helpful, please share it with your colleagues and help them with their revision too. And if you want to help me out, I'd be really grateful if you could leave me a rating or a review on iTunes or whichever podcast app you use. And I hope you tune in for the next episode, which will be on chronic obstructive pulmonary disease or COPD.